The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
There's a reason that we live so far from Hollywood. In the country, looking hard to find a home. With nothing perfect or concealed.
Bonjour, hi, Canada. Greetings to my 300-plus affiliates across the United States, in Canada, and scattered via the Internet around the world. I'm Hugh Hewitt inside the Beltway where the thunderstorms had me up at 4 o'clock this morning. Lots of show prep today because when Thor is waking you up that early, you got nothing to do but go to the studio and get ready. Then, fortunately, it is a grim set of news that I've got for you. The death toll in Beirut has crossed 135. There is no indication of skullduggery or malign attacks or of Secret Service agents. They had the bad stuff loaded up, 2,700 metric tons of it, a fire spread, kaboom. It's devastating. And as relief efforts take form, and as we know where to suggest you send those relief efforts, I will direct you there. We have another bit of bad news out of North Korea. AP is reporting this morning. It's the first story I've actually seen that North Korea is quarantining thousands of people, shipping food and other aid to a southern city locked down under coronavirus worries. And we are teasing out of the data the assessment that the conditions there are quite dire. That is never easy to do, but sometimes you just can't hide from our eyes in the sky and our internet monitoring, even of their primitive communication system there. They have a very highly advanced meddling system. They can do cyber attacks around the world, but they don't allow their people to communicate with each other. That is bad news because, of course, that means China, which only has the one border that is semi-permeable with North Korea, is going to get hit by that as well. I also want to call to your attention a story you'll hear first, as is always the case, from the Financial Times. The CalPERS is the California pension plan. I think it's the largest pension plan in the world. Its chief was a guy named Ben Meng. Ben Meng resigned yesterday after a year and a half. Now, this is a $400 billion fund. And Ben Meng took the chief investment officer role in January of 2019, having served at China's $3 trillion State Administration of Foreign Exchange. Now, Mr. Meng is an American. He was born in China. He came here 18 months ago. I don't think this has anything to do with his ethnicity with China. I think it has to do with he promised to meet a 7% annual performance target. He leveraged up. He invested in private equity. And we don't know what happened. Mr. Meng did not respond for comment, but he's gone after 18 months. California's in a bad way. Indeed, There is a lead story this morning on the economic consequences of the virus, looking through my stack of stuff, that suggests terrible things are underway. From the Wall Street Journal, California bungles its fight against COVID. California is trying to control its coronavirus outbreak without going into a second lockdown. It isn't going smoothly. COVID infections in July surpassed the state's total number of cases in the month prior. Deaths have climbed over 34% in the past 2 weeks, et cetera, et cetera. Look, this is not – Newsom's done a good job in my view. But it's a, just as I've said from the beginning, there is no one to blame for this except the Chinese Communist Party. And when the news continually underreports the fact that the virus moves so fast, you can't keep up with it. They are doing a disservice, raising the expectation of a cure. All we can hope for are better therapeutics, and they are obviously arriving because the death toll remains around 1,000 a day. Americans, about 159,000 Americans have died, significantly less than the Imperial College's projection of 2.2 million, but still a staggering total, and millions more around the globe have died, and more will. But we're getting better at this, and that's all you can hope for, and we can hope for a vaccine soon. Biggest political story, I'm part of it, actually, from Axios. Trump campaign seeks early September presidential debate. Rudy Giuliani sent a letter to the Presidential Debate Commission yesterday asking them to set a debate on September 29, earlier than the September 29 debate at Case Western. By that time, Rudy notes, as many as 8 million Americans in 16 states will have already started voting. Then, in an interesting bit of maneuvering, Rudy suggests there are 24 people that can be moderators, a list of 24 people. Yours truly is on that list. I'm honored by that because, you know, no one gave President Trump a harder time in the debates in 2016 than me. Flat out, no one. The triad question, the tax question, that, you know, he was pretty mad at me for a long time. We're fine now. I call him when I have a story and I need a comment, but I hope to have him on the radio again. But he knows I ask tough questions. I'm fair. If you heard my interviews with Hillary and John Kerry, you know, I'm fair. And the job of a moderator is to be not in the story the next day, but to ask questions that matter. Well, they listed Bret Baier, Jerry Baker, The Wall Street Journal, Maria Bartiromo, Shannon Bream, David Brody, great journalist, David, Rachel Campos Duffy, Kevin Cirilli, Larry Elder, my colleague at Salem, Sagar Anjetti, Harris Faulkner, Major Garrett, great, great journalist, Michael Goodwin, great columnist at The Post, Ambrosio Hernandez, Joe Kernan, old friend of mine, Hoda Kotb, colleague at NBC, Susan Lee, Bill Hemmer, great guy, me, Hugh Hewitt, Todd Lamas, Dagan McDowell, David Muir, Nora O'Donnell, Charles Payne, Rick Santelli. Any one of those people could moderate a debate. They also asked it be in a closed stage with no audience. Makes a lot of sense. Makes a lot of sense. Of course, the nutters on the internet immediately said, oh, Hewitt can't do it. And the Biden campaign said, I don't know, look at this moderator who just wrote a column in The Post, the case for Trump. Yeah, I can also write the case for Biden. I am an objective, fair person. Now, I am transparently conservative and Republican. But the idea, some anonymous, quote, TV anchor, who knows, said if Hewitt and Elder are on a list, you know that, and you're on a list with Hewitt and Elder, you know you're not doing your job. It was anonymous. The irony there is vast, as though we couldn't tell the politics. Everybody knows the politics of everybody on television. The debate commission simply insists on a lot of television experience, which I've got. Worked for every network, with every network, 5 years now with NBC, 10 years with PBS, and 30 years on the radio. I know how to run a debate. But so do all these other people. What we don't need are softball moderators. All right, we don't need people who are going to ask, why are you against abortion, Mr. Trump? You know, that sort of stuff, we're done with that. We're done with Candy Crowley intervention. You have no job to do except ask questions. I don't want any town hall debates. I want them to debate, and the moderator ought not to be a story. That's what I would do. I'm the best of these 24, and Bret Baier is the second best. And Bret knows I'm joking. He's as good as I am. And some of these people are as good as I am as well. But are they willing to prep? Are they willing to get up? Are they willing to do the work? Yeah, I think so. I think so. Other political news, the Trump campaign raised $165 million in July, easily outpacing Joe Biden. And then, of course, the biggest story of the day yesterday with Joe Biden and Errol Barnett. I got to play it for you again. Cut number 27.
Have you taken a cognitive
test? No, I haven't taken a test. Why the hell would I take a test? Come on, man. That's like saying you, before you got in this program, you take a test where you're taking cocaine or not. What do you think, huh? Are you a junkie?
What do you say to...
So stop right there. When you're young, Errol, when he said, are you a junkie? If you listen to a response, Errol got scared. He kind of froze up. He should have said, excuse me, Mr. Vice President, did you just ask me if I'm a junkie? What do you mean by that? You know, but instead, confronted with confrontational tactics, I've often seen journalists wilt. They can't wilt. They can't get mad. They have to do what I did with President Trump in the first debate, which is, Mr. Trump, no, that's not true, but let's move on. It's not about me. You just stay calm and press your point. It's not that hard, but you can't be inexperienced. I think I'd make a great, great moderator. What do you think? 1-800-520-1234. Hi, Hugh Hewitt for ReliefFactor.com. If you are in pain and you want out of pain, well, you need to talk to the people that get it done. Pete and Seth Talbot, the father-son owners of ReliefFactor.com. They tell me that sometimes whole families can be helped when one member of the family gets out of pain. For example, finally, a married couple gets to sleep through the night again when one isn't tossing and turning with a terrible back. That's why Pete and Seth created the 3-week quick start, so you can find out if those people are you. For about $1 a day, you can see if you can get out of pain, and after that, lessen the cost of a cup of coffee a week to stay out of pain. The 3-week quick start is like a trial pack, and it can be at your door in about 2 to 3 days. Let's face it, getting older, exercise, even everyday living can create discomfort, pain. You don't order Relief Factor just for yourself. Order it for your wife, your husband, your family, your friends. They miss the old you, too. 3-week quick start at ReliefFactor.com or call 800-500-8384, 800-500-8384. Welcome back, America. Hugh Hewitt. My goodness, this economy. It's bifurcated into people who are absolutely suffering, and Congress cannot get their act together because Chuck Schumer and Nancy Pelosi will not agree with Mark Meadows and Steve Mnuchin and then go to Mitch McConnell with the deal. They will not do it. And the gap is so large, Chief of Staff Meadows, a very serious, competent individual, has said, if this isn't done by Friday, it's not going to happen. There are many people waiting with bated breath for help. Mitch McConnell is waiting to enter the fray until after round one is done between the administration and the Democrats in the House, then the Senate Republican. It's, you know, limited government depends upon the division of powers. It dates back to the Federalist Papers. But meanwhile, economies around the world, Germany, United Kingdom, German production picked up significantly. All-time high comeback in July. Now, that's because it had a very low place to come back from. Housing, construction in Great Britain picked up from the Financial Times. But as I look at the market, and this is brought to you by Birch Gold, and you know my website is hughgold.com. If you want to buy gold, especially if you want to roll over a portion of your IRA or your 401k assets, never all of it. I think 10% in precious metals is good diversification. I believe in owning some gold in a safety deposit box. You can call them up and order it. I'm, in fact, going to buy more gold this week, even though it's high. I either buy when it's low, like when I told you to buy in December, it was at $1,400 or so. It is this morning at $2,062 an ounce, and I'm going to buy some more because it could portend. It's just a hedge against rapid inflation, given the amount of stimulus which has flowed into the world. $2,062. There's a story today on in the Wall Street Journal, why are people buying gold? And it lists the traditional reasons: safe haven, flight to safety, momentum, never goes down too low, could go up as high as inflation goes, et cetera, et cetera. But I just note the trend. And when it's over 2,000, I add some. And when it's below 1,400, I add some. Why? Because you buy low or you buy high in Hugh Hewitt's world. Because if it's that high, there's a danger signal that's flashing red. And meanwhile, the market knows they can't put any money into Treasury. The 10-year Treasury is at 0.54%. The three-month Treasury is at 0.1%. So your money is sitting in a bank account, not making any money at all. The 30-year Treasury is at 1.22%. We ought to refinance every debt the United States has at 1.22%, 1.19% yesterday. But the Dow went up 373 points yesterday. The NASDAQ went up 57, and the S&P went up 21. The only stock I own, and I tell that every, you know, I'm so transparent. People are the left-wing nutters who were mad at me for being on a list of potential debate moderators said, oh, he's, you know, conservative, he's anti-Biden. I'm not anti-Biden. I am going to vote for Trump, but I can run a debate. What you want is someone who can run a debate. And Biden could persuade me. He really could. I'm open-minded and I'm transparent. A lot depends on his vice presidential choice, too. But the only I'm so transparent, I tell you my whole portfolio, which consists of mutual funds and one stock, because I don't believe I'm smart enough to pick stocks. But I like Amazon. I think it's a diversified company that's going to be a $5,000 stock. And so I own it, and it went up $66 yesterday, 2%. What does that tell you? It tells you that the transition to the new economy has been blistering at breakneck speed. And I expect it to continue. But even though the new economy, the new tech are booming, so is gold. So it's very old-fashioned and it's very new-fashioned. And some of the old ones are just not there. Jeff Bezos sold $3 billion of Amazon share yesterday. It's always good to take a little money off the table. Always good to do that. Meanwhile, the GOP is hitting Joe Biden on, well, let's do the free beacon montage on Joe Biden yesterday about asking, are you a cocaine, are you a drug addict? Cut number 24.
As I joke with him, you know, I shouldn't say it. I'm going to say something I probably shouldn't say.
Well, I tell you what, well, I shouldn't say anything.
Everybody laughs about the...
No, I shouldn't say that. I'm not going to go there.
And the president not make false... I shouldn't say false.
This president is absolutely... Well, I shouldn't say it.
We used to say in Claymont, Delaware, he ain't a... I won't get into it. I shouldn't say it.
People who were... Anyway, I shouldn't get going on that.
That's a stupid way to say it. I shouldn't have said it that way.
Buddy, I shouldn't be so casual.
A guy... Oh, I shouldn't get going.
You shouldn't have been such a wise guy.
Shouldn't have even said that.
And he said, I was asking him, anyway, I won't go through the whole story.
Go ahead.
No, probably best I don't.
Yeah, it's best he doesn't. Joe Biden, I'll be right back.
Where do we go from here, my friend? Is this the way our story ends? Hey, man, sing me a song. When we were everyone, we were more than just a slice of American pie. I can't stop singing along. Can you join in? Come on, are we more than just a slice of American pie? We're top town lovers. It's Saturday. There was a time a long, long time ago, Chevys and Levis played on the radio. No cell phones, just 20,000 lights swaying on a Saturday night. All right.
Welcome back, America. August 6th, more than a slice of American pie. One of my favorite Five for Fighting songs by our friend John Androsik. Always makes me happy as people get in their car early on the East Coast inside the Beltway today where it's raining and thundering. Oh, my goodness. What a week of weather we've had here with that remnant of the tropical storm that I can't pronounce coming up the coast. But that's okay. We love to be in America. Dave in Pennsylvania, 1-800-520-1234, calling about the Axios story that President Trump would like me or one of 23 other people to moderate the debates. What do you think, David?
Well, Hugh, I'd like to expand on your previous idea where each side selects a moderator. Why do we need moderators? Why not? We don't want we don't want this to be a glorified press conference. Why not make it an adversarial event, like in a courtroom?
Well, the very best debate I've ever seen was Joe Lieberman and Dick Cheney seated at a table with one moderator who I can't remember who it was, which is exactly as it should be. And a moderator simply opens the best debate would be China. What do you say, Mr. President? Joe Biden, what do you say? And then they would go back and find, you have to keep time. You have to make sure no one filibusters, and you need to cover all of the issues. Mr. President, you were impeached. Should that not be an issue? Mr. Biden, you snapped at this reporter and others who raised questions of cognitive ability. Mr. Trump, you won't release your tax. I mean, the questions are just obvious. There is no need for overproduction is a problem everywhere except radio. We do so much radio that, if I had a producer, this would be a pretty good show. But we overproduce everything in television. I'm in television longer than everybody else on this list. Maybe Brett's been in television longer. Major Garrett's been in for a while. But I got started in 1992 in TV, and I've never stopped doing it. And I've hosted my own show for 11 years, including the most least watched show in the history of MSNBC, which tells you that I'm willing to go anywhere, to be fair, and talk to anybody. But I don't believe that the current format, the town hall format's the worst. That was invented because the commission is ancient and creaky. You know, the commission's never going to pick me because I'm a critic of the commission. I don't know where the commission came from. It's not a body of law. It's not recognized by anybody, but the presidential candidates indulge it. 1-800-520-1234. I do, however, if you're an affiliate out there, just take solace in the note that I'm among the guys the president trusts to run a fair debate, even though I mixed it up with him repeatedly. 16 times on this show, 4 times on the debate stage in 2016. He doesn't mind a hard question. Take that away. He doesn't mind. Bring it on. Tony in South Carolina. Good morning, Tony.
Hi, good morning, Hugh.
You getting out there to vote for Lindsey Graham? We need people to get out there to vote for Lindsey Graham. That's closer than it should be. The Democrats are flooding that state with money.
No, it won't be that close.
All right.
But I'm curious. I don't get to listen to all 3 hours, usually just the first hour.
What?
I know. I got to work. But
There are earphones. There are the buds that you can wear.
Well, I'm curious about, maybe you'd already talked about it yesterday or something, the George Floyd body cam video.
I have not seen the George Floyd murder video. No.
This is body cam video that got released by the UK Daily Mail. It's being
leave it there. I will go and look. I don't discuss things I haven't seen, Tony. I appreciate you bringing my attention to it. I will go look at it. But unless I see it, I don't comment on it, nor do I allow discussion about it. Ray in Georgia. How are you, Georgia, Ray?
I'm good, brother. How are you?
Good. You know, I heard from Sanders Hickey via Guy Benson yesterday that you do have a football team in Georgia, but I remain skeptical.
No, only team out there is the Pittsburgh Steelers, brother.
You punked Ben. Okay.
Oh, no, he knows I'm a Steeler fan. I say it every time I call.
Oh, you punked him. The poor guy doesn't even understand what that means. Okay, I slow it down for everybody, Ray.
Okay. I don't believe the debates are going to happen. I think Joe's handlers are going to find a way to get out of it, and that's just the way they are. President Trump thrives on confrontation. Joe Biden hides from confrontation.
Well, yesterday he said he's not going to Milwaukee to accept the nomination, and he said something interesting in his response yesterday as well, which is we will be at the places the commission selected. Well, one of those places, maybe two or three, have already said we don't want it, meaning they're changing it. I think he's setting it up to scamper as well, because I don't think he can do a debate. He did fine in his one-on-one with Bernie Sanders. Sarah Palin beat him, but he did fine in the one-on-one there. He actually bested Paul Ryan on points 8-12 years ago. So he's not a bad debater if he's not slipping, but I'm afraid he's slipping. Thank you, my friend. Harry in Florida. Hello, Harry. You remind me of Harry's Razors, and it's harrys.com/you. People should go look. Are you watching? You see how clean shaven I am in the morning? That's because of Harry's Razors. Go to harrys.com/you. Get a special deal for new people. It's the best razor in America. Go ahead, Harry.
It's Perry, like Perry Como or Perry Mason.
Oh, you just ruined my promo. I'm not selling Perry's razors. I'm selling Harry's razors.
Well, I shaved my head, so I could have a razor company.
You have you ever tried Harry's?
No, I haven't. Maybe I need to.
Oh, but, I'm telling you, buddy. It's you know I don't do any. I don't promote any product I don't use, and I love Harry's. I love it. I love it. I love it. It just is finally a razor that does not wear down quickly. It's a great blade. It's a great shave. Harrys.com/you. What's on your mind?
I'm just scared to death about them stealing the election through this mail-in ballot thing.
Look, mail-in ballots are not going to happen.
Well, they're already starting to send them out. I was watching on America News last night, and they're sending them out.
Well, in California, it's the law, and California's law. I've told people my only anecdotal evidence is evidence of anecdotes. People should know that. I teach my law students that. I've been teaching law for 25 years, so that you can't extrapolate from anecdotes. But here's my anecdote. I moved from California to Virginia 4 years ago. We got two ballots at the house in March for the California primary and the old house and in California. And the question is, you know, how many millions of ballots just go lying around? I also encourage people, do you think that others, if you think there is 3% of people in America that are criminal, will they collect ballots and sell them? They collect scrap metal. They steal wire from construction sites. Bad people, especially people who are addicted, do whatever they can to make a little buck to get the next hit. And I'm telling you, ballots are going to be gold. So, Harry, I worry with you, but it's not going to happen generally. Mark in Tennessee. Good morning, Mark. Your Senator Marsha Blackburn has a new book out. I look forward to talking to her about it soon.
Oh, absolutely. She's great.
Yes, she is.
Talking about on the debate, Hugh, I will go ahead and endorse you because I thought you'd done a good job with Trump. And Trump even hit you back by saying your ratings were low. And
oh, he hit me back. I got a couple of Trump tattoos. Those are fun. If you haven't got some Trump tattoos, you're not doing your job.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You've done a good job. So my vote is for you. But on the mail-in ballot, listen, I'll tell you straight up right now, I don't care what the Democrats do. They are going to be devastated in November. I can guarantee you that. I called it once. I'll call it twice. Trump
well,
comes down
I want to give you. I want to give you some encouragement. My brother, who lives in northeastern Ohio, went driving with my sister-in-law. I got to find it here. Here it is. Susan and I drove to Ashtabula in Geneva on the lake today from Warren. That's up the Route 45 or Route 46. Saw 64 yards with Trump signs and only 17 yards with Biden signs. He adds helpfully 79% to 21%. He adds that because he knows he did better. That's just his way of reminding me that he was better at math than I am. I consider this political reporting from Northeast Ohio. As such, should we send our bill to you or to the Trump campaign committee? And I replied, that's data, good data. It's free data. And I will not do anything. I'm not going to pay him a dime. But I think that is the reality in the world out there. Let's get one more in. John in Columbus, 1-800-520-1234. Dr. Michael Oren, former Israeli deputy prime minister, former ambassador from Israel to the United States, is coming up. But let's go to Columbus because I got a shock yesterday, John. They've moved the game. This is a desperate attempt by the state up north to win.
Ain't happening, you.
All right, but they've moved the game.
No, Harbaugh can dream on all he wants. Yeah, I've heard about it and everything. But, they changed it to now to October 24th.
Isn't that is
heard,
a shocking.
They're only going to possibly let 20,000 people in the stadium. And I didn't even want to get into anything politics or current events with you, but the thing I do want to say is if they're going to kneel during the national anthem and stuff. I'm sorry, but I'm just losing my interest in football.
You can't desert the Bucks. I want you to go down to the Pint House, which is Urban Meyer's restaurant in Dublin. And talk it over with the coach because he'll explain to you the young. You know, the coach has done some smart things in the past. He's brought in speakers from all points of view. That's a smart football club, like Larry Elder addressed the Ohio State Football Club. Coach does smart things to make sure those young men know that politics is a big spectrum and they're just to be involved and to more importantly, be involved in their community. So right. don't despair about kids kneeling. I just would like to explain to them, symbolism doesn't tell anybody anything. Nobody can read your mind. If you want to make a statement, make a statement. I believe the example they had to follow is LeBron's press conferences. I never agree with him, but he just, you know, he states his case, he makes his case, but that's what gestures can be misunderstood. Gestures do not do well. Hey, John, thank you. Coming up, Michael Oren. Stay tuned. Welcome back, America. Hugh Hewitt, joined now by Michael Oren, former ambassador of Israel to the United States, former deputy minister of Israel, now a novelist, a fiction writer, a short story compendium compiler, but still a weekly guest. Good morning, Dr. Oren. How are you?
I'm good, Hugh. I'm fine. Our neighbors to the north aren't.
That's my lead story. I see at the Times of Israel the Tel Aviv broadcast, the Beirut flag, the Lebanon flag on City Hall, and then Twitter trolls came after Israel. Is there never going to be even humanitarian gestures acceptable in the Middle East?
Yeah, well, listen, during the Syrian civil war, we treated thousands of wounded from both sides in the Syrian civil war. We took them over the border. We gave them full hospital care. When I was in Knesset, I got complaints from Israelis living up north that the Syrians had taken all the good hospital beds. And then we brought them back. We never took their pictures. We never took their names so they could go back into Syrian society. So it is possible. I think the Lebanese are being selfish and foolish by not accepting the extended hand both of the Prime Minister of Israel, the President of Israel, our medical community. At a time when we're hard-pressed from corona, we're extending our hand in peace to our Lebanese neighbors, and they are not only slapping it away, they're kind of spitting on it.
Now, that can't be generalized. This is a Christian Lebanese area that has been devastated as well as the port. The Maronites get along well with the Israelis. So do the Sunnis. Is this a Hezbollah maneuver?
Well, it's extraordinary. I've read page after page of New York Times coverage of what's happened in Lebanon. The blast, the word Hezbollah, as far as I know, does not even appear there. And as from Israel's perspective, this is a country that is wholly owned, run, and contained by Iran through Hezbollah. And Hezbollah is responsible for everything that happens in that country. And no one's pointing the finger at Hezbollah here, not that we are, but no one seems to be in the world saying, hello, what is this, 3,000 tons of explosive material doing next to Hezbollah arsenal? Could they possibly be using it for explosives? Does that seem beyond the ken? Hardly.
I would at least want ownership. You would think by now we would know who owned the warehouse, what the front company. I assume that the spy agencies do. Michael, our condolences to the people of Lebanon. Let me ask you about whether or not you're going to elections, because when last I checked, the Gantz-Netanyahu coalition has fallen apart. Is it falling apart so much that you're going to only have 61 votes for Netanyahu and a new coalition?
I said last week, I'm going to say it again. Yeah, these guys don't like each other. They don't agree on anything. They can't get anything done. But they're both afraid to go to elections because, as in so many other places in the world, the corona crisis has led to a tremendous lack of credibility, public credibility, in public institutions, in public leaders. And if they go to elections, both Netanyahu and Benny Gantz can face a possible electoral catastrophe. People simply won't vote for them. And so they are very, very hesitant right now to go to elections. They're going to try to stick that out together as long as they possibly can.
So, okay, so they patch this up. When does the awareness dawn in Israel, or has it already dawned, that the virus is not political? I've been making this argument. It is not Donald Trump's fault. It's not Andrew Cuomo's fault. It's not Gavin Newsom's fault. The virus doesn't care about anything. It goes where it will go. We need therapeutics and a vaccine. When does Israel come around to that point of view?
Well, it's not political in Israel. What it is social. Now, I mentioned, in the United States, I understand that wearing a mask is a political statement. Here it's a social statement, because mask wearing is associated with old age, infirmity. It's not a matter of right or left or up or down. I think the general critique of the government, and we have a government that is a national unity government, has leftist parties in it. It's not that the right has failed Israel, the left has failed Israel, just leadership has failed Israel. And so it's going to, it would impact the polls, only that people just simply wouldn't vote for anybody in government, right or left.
You see, I think that is a generalized reaction around the world. Every incumbent has suffered. Have the Israeli people, though, adopted the mask wearing as, if nothing else, a slowing down of an inevitable transmission?
Not enough. Not enough. Again, it's a matter of the young people don't want to wear masks. It makes it look uncool. For the record, I'm wearing a mask as I'm speaking to you now. And maybe I'll risk being uncool. But
I also read a very long New York Times story on Israeli schools. The bottom line was the only thing the Israelis agree on is that schools must be open, even though there have been clusters in schools. Do you agree with that assessment?
I agree with the assessment because we have the youngest population of any industrialized nation in the world. And for parents of children who are beneath the third and fourth grade, that means they can't work. So basically, not opening schools in Israel means unemployment. And we already have 1 million unemployed and 500,000 without employment benefits.
Now, have they moved emergency measures through the Knesset like the United States Congress has, but they're currently stuck to provide extra unemployment insurance to people?
They are, but again, we don't have the pockets that the United States have, and we can't print out money the way the United States can. So these payments are, relative to what America can pay out, are a pittance, and they're not going to be able to keep people's heads above the water for much longer.
Dr. Michael Oren will be back next week to check in again. Follow him on Dr. Mike, drmichaeloren.com, or on Twitter, Dr. Michael Oren. Don't go anywhere, America. Hour number two of today's Hugh Hewitt Show is coming up. Hi, Hugh Hewitt for ReliefFactor.com. If you are in pain and you want out of pain, well, you need to talk to the people that get it done. Pete and Seth Talbot, the father-son owners of ReliefFactor.com. They tell me that sometimes whole families can be helped when one member of the family gets out of pain. For example, finally, a married couple gets to sleep through the night again when one isn't tossing and turning with a terrible back. That's why Pete and Seth created the 3-week quick start, so you can find out if those people are you. For about $1 a day, you can see if you can get out of pain, and after that, lessen the cost of a cup of coffee a week to stay out of pain. The 3-week quick start is like a trial pack, and it can be at your door in about 2 to 3 days. Let's face it, getting older, exercise, even everyday living can create discomfort, pain. You don't order Relief Factor just for yourself. Order it for your wife, your husband, your family, your friends. They miss the old you, too. 3-week quick start at ReliefFactor.com or call 800-500-8384. 800-500-8384.